Matters with certified financial planner Dave Petzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petzo.
Dave Petzo with us from Petzo Financial, Petzo Services, Petzo Facebook. And Dave, you take a look at what happened in Orlando. Your thoughts?
I don't know that there's anything that everybody hasn't already said, Kevin. I mean, it's absolutely a change in our entire life, the way we live, the way we think, the fear. I was talking to somebody yesterday, of course, and just a stranger happened to mentioned that they were, you can't go anywhere. Feel like you can't go anywhere, and that's just the general loss, I think, right? The loss of freedom and the loss of you think you understand the world you're in when somebody that grew up in this country could actually go that nutty and start shooting up a place. It's very sad.
Indeed, and then you think about bringing the war home to us, whether it was the Sarnoff brothers in Boston, or Omar Mateen, and the hate in this person's heart that they would do this crime, and they would basically be celebrating by calling the emergency folks at 911 during the shooting.
Yeah, yeah. I guess he was cold, calculated, thought he knew what he was doing. It's just something that's so foreign, right, to a normal person. To think like, yeah, I think it's, you know, why don't I think about buying a gun and just shooting up a place? That'll be great. I'll have 29 virgins in heaven. It'll be an awesome thing. I can't wait for God to reward me for this great deed I'm about to do. It's a crazy, weird thing. And also, I can't help but also reflect at the same time that you have the burial of Muhammad Ali, who obviously was not a Muslim extremist.
Indeed, a tale of two worlds here at 580 KIDO. I go back to what happened. I mean, this is the largest mass shooting in America, and it's almost as if we've become immune to it. You know, I'm sitting there watching the networks, and, you know, we came in yesterday. Ronaldo and I came in, took some calls. But it's almost as if we've become numb, and we expect this. And when you're talking about no one is safe, and in the old days we were talking about that it'd be military targets. I mean, everybody's a target.
Right.
Teachers, people in the community, these folks want to kill us.
They do, and particularly those that have a different lifestyle, which is interesting, of course, and kind of weird that they're the apologists for, the biggest apologists for any kind of anti-Muslim rhetoric, right? There's that we need to stop them, but it's particularly a horrible society for women. It's so backwards. It's frightening. I would think it'd be frightening if you were a woman or cared about women. It's really pretty crazy to think about in this, as advanced as the world seems to be.
Indeed, of course, gun sales have been going up over 300% during the Obama presidency. Do you expect them to continue to go up?
Well, I don't know why not. People are going to want to arm themselves. I don't know what you would do in a circumstance like that. But if somebody had a gun, I would think that they would be firing back, and that might change change things a little bit. But people that want us all to lose our gun rights, I think that's they disagree. They think it would be worse. So for people inside to have had guns. But anyway, Kevin, I do expect sales to keep going higher.
Well, and then we take a look at this. You know, after September 11th, obviously the markets were closed because of the attacks in New York. What impact do these events have on the trading of people's money?
Kevin, it's hard to say. It really is. I think when it had been a while, and so when it happened in Brussels, it was a big enough event that the markets temporarily shook, and then gathered themselves by noon. Really, they just It wasn't like it shot back up to all-time highs, but it gathered itself. I would guess that the markets will open down today, but that can be any number of reasons. We had a sell-off on Friday. There's all kinds of reasons why the market should sell off. I doubt it's going to be any kind of dramatic rush out of the market because of this, but it does show us that there's more fear out there. There's more reasons to be fearful, and that is the type of thing that loses the confidence in any market.
Well, I can remember after September 11th, people were afraid to go to malls. People were afraid to go to Disney. People were just afraid. And that plays into the terrorist mindset as well. You know, you have this gay nightclub in Orlando, pretty much off the beaten track, and yet these attacks happen. Will this impact travel?
Probably it could. And there are some people that it already affects travel to Europe, right? I mean, people are not willing to go to Europe right now. They're afraid to. Some, I'm not saying all, but some are afraid to go to Europe and they just don't want any part of it. They're worried and concerned that there's going to be another attack over there and they'll be in the midst of it. So if that continues here apace, then people will, of course, hunker down more at home, stay away from, going out. So the answer is it could. I think it would take more than one incident.
Dave Petzo with us as we continue on talking about your money here at 580KIDO. Kevin Miller with you as we move along here. So we take a look at besides Orlando and everything else. By the way, props to the Orlando Police Department and their response.
You know, the police are, they really are. They're so well trained. It's they take a rap all the time, but particularly unfortunately under this administration they have. But they are so well trained. It's amazing. And when something does happen, I just can't imagine how well trained, how good they are at what they do.
Well, and that's the idea. People are critical of the police, and yet when it all goes down at 2 in the morning, uh-huh, the SWAT team goes in to make sure that people, total strangers, are safe. And thankfully, by the grace of God, you have this cop, who was a police officer, who was hit in his head, but the Kevlar helmet saved his life, a little eye damage. Hopefully the eye is okay. But, that can't be reported enough.
Right.
To go into harm's way.
That's absolutely true. You know, it is, especially everybody expects perfection out of the police and that they'll never have any negative feelings brought to their job and something could go wrong. And whenever somebody dies, it's their fault. It is something to watch and something to behold. And they just go about their job regardless of what the public is saying about them or the press is.
Now let's get to some of your favorite topics.
Okay.
You know, I got into this with our friend Terry the other day.
Okay.
And I think we're going to rename him, instead of Terry from State College, Pennsylvania, we might call him End of Times Terry.
End of Times Terry, yes. There you go.
And I finally said, you know, Terry, and then I got into it with Tea Party Bob about this, the gloom and doom that people keep predicting in this recession that's going to happen, it may happen. And who's to say that we already in one and we don't know it?
Right.
But, I mean, you take a look at where we were almost 7 years ago, there were no jobs even in the service sector. There are jobs, whether they're high-paying or not. So we take a look at the economy. How do you see this playing out in the next few months?
Well, welcome to my world, Kevin. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to argue if people are adamant that it's all bad all the time. But it's Kevin, it's I don't see the economy booming by any stretch, and that's really not the point. The point here is this. For me, when it comes to the markets, and you and I have talked about this relentlessly for years now, about the difference between Wall Street and the difference between Main Street.
Right.
And where people are, they miss it because they're always gauging the economy as if it's the stock market, and it is not. They're two very different things. And I don't know why people insist on putting them all together. But they do. And since they do, we have to deal with that all the time. As far as the economy goes, it looks like we're going to bubble along. And that's fine, and that does help corporate profits. But basically, I think of money this way. There's a big bathtub full of money, and it's going to slosh around and go to the place that it's treated the best for low risk. Right now, you can invest in government bonds around the world. Many of them are at negative interest rates today. Trillions are at negative interest rates. You pay for them to take your money. weird, but it's true.
Not a bad deal for the banks.
Not a bad deal for the right. So what we have is we've got a situation there. So I don't think cash is king. Okay, I think cash is a is obviously earning negative, especially with
but
inflation.
But you've never been a fan of cash.
No, not a big fan. Although it's okay to let it build up when times are particularly good. Okay, it's okay. But we don't get paid for that. So I don't think a lot of money is going to sit in cash. But it is sitting in cash. We have tens of trillions of dollars sitting in cash. Now, what about real estate? Well, real estate also has been driven up in price-wise because, again, of course, you can go get loans for very low money. It makes real estate very attractive, and it has been attractive, and prices are not low there either. So rates of return are not high. Where else are you going to put money? Let's forget about making fun of gold. So we're just not going to put it
in. Now, hold on. Before you get to this, because I keep track of the gold during the week here at 580KIDO, and gold is up to historic highs. In fact, gold is almost at $1,300 an ounce.
Historic highs. We were at $1,800.
Well, historic highs, you know, back to recovery level. I mean, it's had a historic rise lately.
It's bounced off the lows.
I remember Glenn Beck told you to buy that gold at 1800 because it was going to go higher.
Yes, and so did Schiff and all these other, you know, end of world geniuses. So,
but gold is back.
Gold is back. That's right. Silver's back. It's, you know, as far as that goes, there's no yield, so there's no real serious money that ever goes into gold. It's fine. You can, you know, I'm not making fun of the people that have gold. That wasn't my point. My point is you're not going to find pension funds and things like that buying gold.
But you hear about the gold IRAs. What is that?
Well, it's another way to separate people from their money.
So in other words, instead of being in the market, your IRA is tied to gold?
It is, and they're very expensive to buy, and gold is super expensive to buy and sell. People don't realize how expensive the commissions are on them.
And that's a great point. And 60 Minutes did a thing on this many years ago that when you buy the gold, and look, we're not telling you not to buy the gold, just giving you some insight, that you don't even get the gold, you get a certificate from these places.
That's right. You can't hold the gold, right?
Right. And then when you want to sell it, there's a premium to sell it back to them at a discount.
That's right.
Than what you bought it for.
That's right. That's right.
But they don't tell you that on the ads.
No. No. You pay me now and again later.
Right. So let's say Kevin Miller, who is, you know, looking at gold, he buys it at from gold, you know, golddownthestore.com, and it's $1,500 an ounce. I buy it from them, and let's say 3 years later it may be higher, and I want to sell it. Chances are I might not be able to sell it at that gain. I might have to sell it at a loss to them.
Well, yeah, it will certainly take a haircut both directions. So if gold is at $1,500 an ounce, you're going to pay more than $1,500 to buy it, and then it has to go past that and far enough past that to also pay for the commission on the other side. Further, Kevin, the argument is always a weird circular one to me, okay? And that is, I don't want to be in any fiat currency, so I'm going to go buy a pretty brick. And then with my fiat currency. Now, hopefully that brick will go up in value because it won't produce anything. You will get receive nothing in between. So at some point in time, you will have to turn that pretty brick back into fiat currency in order to buy goods and services that you want.
More coming up next with Dave Petzo, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, on Idaho's Talk Station 580KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's Talk Station 580KIDO. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's Talk Station 580KIDO.
And here he is, the cool thing, Dave Petzo. At 580KIDO, it's time for Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. Actually, I think we've renamed you End of Times Terry. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Well, then we've got to give David a new name called Dr. Dave. He understands everybody's mind. He knows exactly what I'm thinking and how I operate.
Now. Oh, my goodness. Well, you're feisty. You're feisty enough today.
Hey, I'm ready. Gentlemen, David, let me use a Ronald Reagan here. There you go again. You just told people they can't own their gold. I've got a trust. I hold my own gold. Hello?
Okay. Okay, you hold your own gold. Perfect.
Well, I don't think you need to be advertising that, Terry.
Well, my gold, believe me, is not on the premises.
Okay. We don't want to be sending the prospectors or anybody else out to get you.
they can come. There's nothing here. You know, I'm not that naive to assume that, you know, I can talk about it and it won't be desired by others. David, I have a question for you. Would you, in fact, being that people eminently more qualified and successful than any of us put together are saying we're in a collapse, not a crash, but a collapse, could you, without using a silver tongue, perhaps on your website, prove to us why we're not in a global collapse?
Well, first of all, it's great to be able to just handpick who it is you agree with and then only agree with them. So that's perfect. That's perfect confirmation bias, Terry. That's just absolutely beautiful. If we all hunker down and only read what Peter Schiff has to say and all the doomsdayers.
Peter Schiff.
Well, I thought you were strongly advocating for him not being wrong last time we talked, Terry. But the point is that people are doom and gloom and doom and gloom, and we bury ourselves in it, and we constantly bury ourselves in that. That's just awesome. And so we never we think all of these geniuses that you talk about that have been wrong for the last 7 years, that's fine. They may not be wrong forever.
Okay.
The point I'm trying to make is simple, Terry, is that you have absolutely no balance at all to saying not everybody thinks that the world is ending. I'm not saying the world is in perfect shape. I'm simply saying that the world is not as bad as it's going to end any time now.
That's why we call you Dr. Dave. Anyways, you know what I'm thinking. Dr. Dave, question for you. We've got Erdogan, and I like to use him only because he controls $465 billion of other people's assets. That's how much they trust him. That's how accurate his predictions have been. Now, we can go to Bob Arnott. We can go down the line to all these people who control
Bob Arnott has lost absolutely billions and billions. And I like Bob Arnott. I've met him, and he's a very bright guy. But unfortunately, he's been dead wrong for the last 5 years. Now, I'm sure he'll be right again someday. So I just hope that we're all around for that. But he's a great guy. He's a bright guy. And he's just been dead wrong. But I know you're right. I mean, he's always right. Like, some people are always right, apparently. Right, Terry? Like you. You're always right.
Have you always been right?
No. All right.
So, Terry, finally. Yes. Terry. You know, I think, and thank you for the call. This is the second call we've had today where somebody is jamming our phones or something like this. We lost Liberal Steve a couple times. Dave Pezzo with us. Let's get back to this issue about what to look out for. Gas prices or oil prices on the rise. What does that mean?
Well, it's a mixed bag, really. I mean, first of all, for some people, it means that, in fact, the economy is growing, and that's what the market says when energy prices, in other words, consumption is up. And typically, Kevin, that's true. It's just it tends to be a long-term thing. I think it's more supply-demand related right now in that we are finally cut back enough here in the U.S. particularly, and Iran is not back online fully, but they will be. But right now, we've got a good supply-demand balance going on right now, and that's why prices are back to $50 a barrel or so.
Right. Is that enough to get the frackers back in action?
No, only in the best areas, and that's the best areas. I understand there's about two of them that the costs are very, very low to drill and to complete the well, and those will probably continue as long as, you know, in full production. I don't think they'll ramp it up anymore, Kevin. It takes borrowed money, and nobody's lending right now in the oil patch.
Indeed. Crazy, though, when we take a look at this, that we have these towns in Texas that were booming a year and a half ago, and now doing more with less. A fascinating story, I think it was either in Bloomberg or the Wall Street Journal, where these guys opened up a restaurant, and they saw their business cut in half. So what they did, and you love this because you're such an unbridled capitalist, what they did instead of going out of business is they started, because they could buy eggs in bulk, and they did catering, but they started doing like these low-cost, I guess, egg burritos in the morning, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And they killed it.
A breakfast burrito, yeah.
Right. And just that innovation has kept them going. Now, nowhere near what it was when people had disposable income. But it's fascinating, the mind of these entrepreneurs and what they went through.
It is, Kevin. That's what I love about humans, entrepreneur freedom. I love that because that's what happens when we cut loose and we are free, which is one of the reasons why I think it's so important that we don't have large bureaucracies that impede that. It's when people are free to make a decision and not free to fill out forms and then hear back from bureaucrats that say, no, you can't do that. I think it's crazy, but it's a wonderful thing. I tell you a quick example of that, if I can, Kevin, was
you can do whatever you want.
Well, no, but you got all the buttons over there, man. I can't even
push the buttons right. Go ahead.
So you know Stephen Hawking, the wheelchair bound
right.
Astrophysicist, an amazing guy, right? So they tried to get him up into space. It took actually 8 years to get the bureaucrats to approve it. Because it was the FAA said they couldn't do it, couldn't go, because the guy wanted to be weightless. Wouldn't you, if you were wheelchair bound, wouldn't that be one of the great joys
of
life?
I'd like to be weightless at my weight.
That's right, exactly, exactly. But anyway, I was just reading about this, and in 10 years, that's how hard it is to get anything done, even right things, good things, noble things. Bureaucrats just suck the life out of everything. Government, it ruins everything. And when entrepreneurs are free to go do things, guess what they do? They do great and noble things like trying to take Stephen Hawking to space. They do great things in changing the dynamics in their own little communities when there's a downturn. When you have bureaucrats involved, nothing happens. And that's I applaud that and love that. But I think there's a bigger story to that, and that is that we are all, you know, when we are free, we are able to really, really run with it.
Words to live by our great friend Dave Petzo. You can catch him Saturdays 8 to 10 here at 580 KIDO, the Petzo Center, anytime. Dave, anything else you'd like to share with us?
No, thanks for being there, Kevin. I think it's great to have that outlet for people that you and you come in yesterday in the midst of this tragedy. I just think it's just shows where your heart is at, man.
Well, thank
you're
you.
You're a good guy. You're a good guy.
Bless you. We're trying
Bless
to live
you.
Up to the Petzo standard.
Oh, yeah, right. It's not a tough bar to get across.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station.
Sergeant R.J. Anderson's dream was to take to the skies.
I've always wanted to be a soldier, but my ultimate goal was to be a pilot. I think I was meant to fly. I had just applied to be a part of the 160th SOAR regiment, and I was going to airborne school that next Monday. So I decided to go on a motorcycle ride with my buddies. We were going through a turn, and that's all I remember. That's the day everything changed. I was told by the doctor that I would never walk again. Thanks to Paralyzed Veterans of America, competing in adaptive sports lit my fire again. They help you transition for the rest of your life to that individual that you want to be. Sports like hand cycling really pushes you to find who you are in that redefining moment after injury. With PBA Sports, I've found my freedom. Now when I think about my future, the possibilities are endless.
For more information, visit PVA.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Hello and good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. And our number is, of course, 580-KIDO. If you prefer, no problem at all. Email dave@petzofinancial.net. dave@petzofinancial.net. Love to hear from you. In fact, our education segment is from an email last week, so we'll talk about that. We'll hit that, of course, at the beginning of the next hour. Wow, wasn't it interesting this week, though? Fascinating. The level of fear and angst the first part of the week. It was amazing. You know, and yeah, I know we're kind of coming off of a good time. Maybe it's time for a little bit of a correction. I totally get that. Totally. But amazing. We had been ignoring the potential Brexit, right? And I think the key with that, when we stop and we think about the Brexit, ooh, because that's going to be coming. The vote is this week, right? It's Thursday. So that'll be all we talk about. If you happen to catch a TV show or whatever over the weekend, that's what they're going to talk about. That's what they'll talk about all day Monday and all day Tuesday and so on and so forth. And that kind of went away at the end of the week. Interesting, huh? Interesting. We saw interest rates go negative on 30-year Swiss bonds. Wow. Crazy. It is crazy. We'll come back to that. We're going to talk a lot about that because this move in interest rates is fascinating to me. You know, the fact that stocks have higher yields than the bonds of some of the great corporations in the world is really weird. Opportunity or fear? Opportunity or disaster? It depends, I think, on what you firmly believe. There's lots and lots of doom out there, for sure. That's for sure. All right, let's go to our buddy Jim. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dave. How's it going?
Good morning. It's going awesome. What a beautiful morning. It's spectacular out there today, isn't it?
Yep. Happy Father's Day.
Hey, thank you.
I guess you're a father. I'm not.
So. I'm sorry. It's kind of cool to
father
be
and
a dad.
Grandfather, eh?
Yeah, I am. And I got another grandbaby on the way. Woohoo!
How neat.
Yeah.
No, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you were talking to old Terry on the, you know, with Kevin Miller.
Oh, goodness, boy.
And about that guy, Arnott.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you said you had met him. He's a nice guy. He's bright. Then you said he's dead wrong. Now, how do you correlate bright with dead wrong? they're opposite characteristics.
Oh, it's a great point. But I think that's I understand what you're saying, but I'm absolutely correct. Very bright people in the markets are wrong all the time.
Then they're not bright.
Oh, no. You can't be right all the time in this.
No. True. Nobody's right all the time. But
right.
If somebody's been dead wrong for a long time, how can they be bright?
Well, I think he is bright. There's no question. And he had a good track record before. But what my point is he's been piling up on gold and commodities and things like that in his he didn't see things correctly. He is a very bright guy. He's been around the industry for a very long time. But your point is good. But at the same time, Jim, nobody gets it. You know, John Templeton had great periods where he was wrong for a long time, right? He did. And Warren Buffett's been on the cover of Fortune magazine twice for losing his touch. I hesitate to say he's not, and I have met him and spent some time with him, and he obviously knows what he's talking about. But like all of us, we make a lot of mistakes, and that's probably part of the trick here, right, is to be able to say, it's not a mistake. You can't know the future. I mean, you can't.
Well, you know, there's also a bit of a disconnection between being bright and being a nice guy.
Yeah, there's a big disconnection, and also bright doesn't mean you're a good investor at all. Honestly, I highly intelligent people, and I mean high IQ people, tend to be really bad investors, and you say, how is that possible? That's silly. And the answer is, let me use an accounting/engineering type analogy to that. They are, you know, engineers, certainly, it's tough to get into schools, right? They're bright people. But when you build a bridge, it has to have 100% certainty of not falling down.
Right.
This isn't a most of the time we think or a little bit better than half we're right. But when it comes to investing, that's exactly what it is. And so and very highly intelligent people can't prove the future, want to continue to try to prove the future, use a lot of numbers, use a lot of, you know, squiggly lines and try to divine based on some formula what's going to happen, and you can't. And it drives them crazy. I think it gives them analysis to paralysis. And so I think that you find the people that are the best investors are the highest common sense, which I certainly think is a very high form of intelligence. But I think the best investors are the common sense, brilliant common sense thinkers. Yes, you have to read a balance sheet. Yes, you have to dig in. Yes, you have to have patience and all those things. But common sense steers the best investors, and they make decisions, and they're not afraid to be wrong. This is a business of being wrong all the time. You sell too soon. You buy too soon. That's what happens all the time.
True. I mean, you do common sense, you know. I mean, and, it, you know, it's simple if you let it be. Buy a good company and go with it.
Right.
And then the economy does whatever the economy does.
Yeah, and people do fuss about it. Yeah.
You can't hide from it by buying gold or anything else.
No, you can't hide in life, and everybody wants a guarantee. I mean, it's the same with love, right, or whatever. Everybody wants some kind of assurance that their partner's going to be there forever, and stuff happens, right? And it's not just illness. Relationships break up.
You know, going back to parenthood, I've thought being a parent, I mean, if you're a good parent, and my parents were good parents, I mean, you have to have total optimism. You know, you can't think ahead what might happen in the future, you know?
Yeah.
If you did, you'd be a blithering idiot to have a kid.
That's true.
So it's amazing how somebody, I mean, I had polio when
I
was
Are you
like
saying, Jim, that really optimists are the only ones that should be allowed to breed?
Yep. Well, I had polio when I was 5 years old. My father took care of me and all that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And got me through all sorts of stuff, you know? It's amazing, you know? I don't know. A good parent is tremendous.
They are. There are. They're special. It's sometimes you forget because you get in the mix of it, right, when you're actually raising your kids. But as a grandparent, I've just really enjoyed watching my daughter raise her daughter. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know she's just an infant, but still. It's just amazing watching somebody just being so loving, tender. What can I do?
Well, today it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the good old days, I mean, society hadn't fallen apart and people pulled together and all that. And with the internet and all this stuff, to be a good parent and to keep them away from bad stuff is hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. There's no doubt about it. It's always hard to be a parent. It always was. I think our parents just gave us a little more freedom to go out and explore the world and come home and need to go get a tetanus shot once in a while than parents do today.
Well, I really think that my generation, and we probably started the decline of civilization, the baby boomers, but I was born in 46, and I think that was the perfect time after the war
mm-hmm.
and before computers and technology. I mean, you know, I had the best of all of humanity, you know.
Well, I was born in the early 60s, and I would argue that was a pretty good time, too. You know, it was. We just had a lot of space and a lot of freedom and to grow up and just be ourselves and get into trouble. And nobody got into too much trouble. But, you know, just those kind of things where there was a lot, where neighborhoods still parented all the children.
Yeah.
I mean, I got yelled at by lots of parents, not just mine.
Me too. But kids.
My parents were never mad about it. They were mad at me, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The next thing will come, you know, putting chips in kids. I mean, now they're watched so damn much. I mean, they're never given any confidence to, you know, they feel their parents don't trust them at all.
Right,
because
right.
The parents have to keep tabs on them everywhere and everything they do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know. It's a different world.
Anyway, well, have a great Father's Day.
Hey, you do the same. Well, I know you're not a father, but have a great weekend. It's beautiful out there. Take care, Jim.
Goodbye.
Bye. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got lots of things to talk about. And hopefully, though, we'll talk to you. Shoot us a call, 580-KIDO, or email us, dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. You know, it is, do join us on the phones. Come on, 580-KITO, 580-5436. Love to hear from you. You know, we were talking earlier about the negative interest rates. It's just incredible. And having Switzerland go to negative rates on a 30-year bond. Germany goes negative on a 10-year, first time in history. We're down at 1.6%, just within a breath of lows. This flight to bonds, this fear move, which I don't know how else to explain it because it makes no sense. I mean, it makes no sense as you look at the bonds of Merck. Yeah, Merck, the drug company. Pay less than the dividends of Merck, actually substantially. And further, you get better tax treatment on the dividends than you do on the interest payments. Now, people worry about, you know, this is financial manipulation when companies go borrow money to buy stock. Please manipulate. If I own you, not just to drive the stock price up, but it's accretive to earnings. You see, if I go borrow money at some ridiculous rate, you know, 1%, 2%, whatever. In Apple's case, I think probably over in Europe, they can borrow money for like near zero. 1%, 2%. And I have, let's say, like Merck, have a 3% dividend. The more you borrow to buy back shares that you no longer have to pay a 3% dividend on, that's immediately accretive to earnings. Yeah, I don't see what's bad about that. That's great. That's smart. Please do that. Yes, continue to make drugs and innovate and create a new blockbuster life-saving treatments. But in the meantime, you might as well take a few billion over here because the market's giving it to you for no cost. And stop the cash flow out of dividends. By the way, these corporations have an amazing history of raising their dividend. The weird thing on a bond is it has a super guarantee in there that they will never raise the interest on the bond. It's an amazing thing. Over in Europe, you have dividends in many cases over 4%, some over 5%. And bonds have yields, 10-year, 12-year yields of 0.25. That's right, 0.25. It's backwards. It's weird. 4 and 5% dividends with bonds that have a quarter of a percent. Wow. Crazy. It's crazy. I don't know what to make of it either. But what we usually do is when we don't know what to make of it, we hide. When we don't know what to make of it, we gravitate to whatever negative opinion there is. And since negative opinions aren't exactly rare, that's easy to do. And say, how can this end well? I don't know. Because we haven't ended it well yet. But all of history says it's going to be okay. It may not be perfect. And everybody wants some kind of, I don't know why you want this market to be like perfect. Like every day is a good day and it goes up a little bit and we all make money. Month after month, year after year, decade after decade. But we would like to receive a risk premium, right? We want to be paid, hey, we want our 10% historic return. But we don't want to have any bumps. It doesn't work that way. Now, I'm sorry, it does not work that way. And yet it's really amazing when we know it doesn't work that way. We know markets fluctuate. We know there's going to be troubled times. We know. Just shut up. Then accept it. I mean, at your core, accept it. The market went down. That's what we call normal. The market's in a corrective mode. Hello, normal. Well, this commentator, this, that commentator, that, they're calling for this or that. Hello, normal. There's always two sides to the market. There's always a preponderance of negative. Fear sells.
always, in all assets, always. Have you ever heard like a gold commercial that was like, you know, through all of history, we've continued to live longer and longer and more productive lives. People have tremendous abundance on our planet now. So we think you should buy gold. Well, I mean, is there ever a commercial like that? Is there ever like a quick little history of the economy, the GDP growth of the world, the billions that are now not living in poverty that literally 25, 50 years ago were dying of starvation? If so, I missed that gold commercial. It sells. Fear sells. You go to any seminar and they're pimping annuities or something like that, usually. You can hear it on the radio. Fear. 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 You don't want to do this. You want to do that. Fear. And so people get trapped in products that have enormous cost and commissions. Huge. That don't do what they promise to do. Can't. And this goes on and on in all things. And we get pulled away because of fear. And I don't know what's going to happen with negative interest rates. I don't know how that comes back out. It just probably rates start rising. We've got such a weird thing going on with the ECB buying all kinds of bonds that they've gone negative over there. And then that makes the world rush to ours. I mean, if you're sitting in Germany at negative interest rates, let's just call it zero. I think it looks pretty exciting to have a 1.8, whoops, 1.7, whoops, 1.6 10-year treasury. That's a juicy return. If you are forced to own a certain amount of bonds. But really, when we look at this and we take this, I would rather have the 4.2% dividend of this corporation and not the 0.25% bond. Call me crazy. Call me a Wall Street casino guy. But when history is so strong, history is so good, and the fact that we get paid so well for normal corrections. You see, we miss it. We don't think corrections are normal. We can't accept that that's normal. That my $1 million goes to 900,000 once in a while. That's the way it works. That's it. It's the way it goes. And for that, we do well. All right, we're going to take a break here for news. We'll be back after the top of the hour. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. And, of course, these are my opinions only. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. Of course, we are, if you will, the antithesis of that. We don't think that that's smart, that it's financial pornography, that it leads you further from the truth, further from peace with your money. Further from solving your long-term security needs. In a world that focuses on short-term and gives up long-term, we need to flip that around, don't we? I mean, the world's getting shorter and shorter and shorter on our focus. We all walk around with the Library of Congress in our fingertips, but most of the time we just use it to, you know, take selfies, check our Facebook, emails, and, you know, see what the market's doing. So we do. And it leads us to be shorter and shorter and shorter in our holding periods. I just find it so fascinating and a puzzling question to me. That why is it in a world where people live materially longer than they did 30, 40, and 50 years ago, that they think shorter term materially shorter term than they did when life was short. I find it puzzling and weird, but it is certainly true. And all the statistics, of course, I mean, we all think, you know, no, I'm a long-term investor. People say that all the time. They want to know why their portfolio is down today or this month or even this year. Should we be doing something different when normal is that markets are down sometimes? It's normal. And we want to gyrate and do all that. Yeah. Crazy. It really is crazy. And so we're going to try. And what this does, I you need to understand this. I'm not just trying to tell you. I am continuing to remind me. Because we're all humans. And yeah, we're all in this together, right? No. I mean, it's just, we all feel the same angst. We all feel nervous about the unknown. Some more than others, yes. And some of us are just kind of like, it's okay. Markets do this. I think I'm going to buy some more. It's a natural process for great investors. Oh, good, the market's down. We can buy some more. Good, the market's up. I can sell some of that. Yeah, maybe move it over here. That's not doing very good. People don't do that. It's hard to shoot the horse that won the race or whatever, right? Whatever, you know, little quick cliche that explains why we won't invest by buying low and selling high and why we repeat that bad behavior, why we hunker down in fear. We believe all the fear mongers. All of them. It's kind of like this constant, you know, like, well, how do you explain that everybody knows there's going to be a crash? I didn't think everybody did. Yeah, everyone. All the smart ones do anyway. Okay. Again, confirmation bias is buying into or always reading or believing, blogging, whatever, into our own belief. The fact is, really, if you want a long-term optimistic outlook, there's not very many people that do that because there's not a lot of exciting stuff to say. Warren, what are you doing today? Warren Buffett, of course, you know, like, what do you mean? Well, what are you trading? You know, what looks good? The stuff we hold, we kind of like. Well, you know, I mean, but hey, are you kind of like getting on energy prices here, you know? What do you think about, you know, junk bonds? And, you know, should we flip over and do a little bit of emerging market stuff right now? Are you short some stuff? What are you shorting now? Nothing. You know, I know you bought a railroad, you know, like the whole railroad a couple of years ago. Have you like you're going to flip that? No. We own things. Well, that's great, Warren. Thanks. We'll be back tomorrow to ask the same ridiculous questions. And this is what plays for 24-hour financial news. How in the world do you think this is normal or you're going to act normally? When this is what we do.
Well, you know, the market gets its cue off of oil prices, you know, Jim. Oh, really? Yeah, you know, I know. Oil was down big on Thursday and the market was up 120 points. Yeah, except for that day. Well, you know, and then it gets its cue on Friday. Oil was up big on Friday and the market was down. Yeah, I guess it kind of works when it works, and it's really good to talk about. And our cue will be Monday. It'll be, you know, the cue will be, let's see, the Swiss bond, I think, that's going to be what it'll do. Really? It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
crazy. That's what we do. And we think it's actually, we think we're getting brighter. And it's sometimes you just have to sit back and kind of like pretend you're one of these guys. And I go, okay, I know. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it up today. And then you go, wow, that sounds just exactly like they do every day. Weird. To kind of get this picture that's like, wow, all the great investors don't do that. All of them. All of them. Warren doesn't sit around going, I wonder what I ought to do based on oil prices or whatever the Q of the market is today. What the algos are doing. They're buying businesses at what they think are bargain levels. They're not always right, and they hold them for long periods of time. And they crush the market and other investors. But it doesn't make good news. So we don't talk about it. Because we can't. There's nothing to talk about. It's incredible. With that, let me kind of spin into, hey, Jim, would you just hang on here, man? I want to get to this email because in our education segment here, okay? So hang on with me, okay? Dave, I really see the wisdom of investing in dividend-growing stocks, okay? Now let's think about this. This is a strategy that's not a today strategy. This is a long-term strategy. Not sure, but this appears to be called a type of value investing. The question I have is how to implement this. It seems like one can pick individual stocks and have better than average growing earnings per share and dividend growth. But an investing rule is to diversify and lower your risk. If you use a mutual fund to invest in these stocks, you lose some percentage to management. So you start with an average of perhaps 3% dividends and lose perhaps 1% to management in most mutual funds. To add to this, inflation will show up sooner or later. Is there a better way to do this? Fred, thank you. Such a great question. It is. And you're like, yeah, okay, great question. But there's more depth to this. And that's why I wanted to put it in this segment. Do we use ETFs, exchange-traded funds, because they have lower cost? Do we focus only on like an index fund, which is kind of like the ETF would do, that focuses on dividend stocks, to keep that cost down? And the answer to me is no, not necessarily. You can, but I don't like that because corporations change. You see the key, and as I look at, and I've talked about this before, so I'm not going to dive into passive versus active management. We'll do that plenty of times. We talk about it all the time. But when I look at long-term dividend growing funds, you need to really identify them. And that's a bottom-up approach. That's an identifying them. That's spending enormous amounts of time. And you can buy them, but they may not be held forever. Right? ETFs do. Corporations change. Their outlook changes, getting more positive or negative. Cash flows are increasing or decreasing, and maybe a dividend grower is not going to be a dividend grower because cash flows have slowed down. Or their dividend growth is going to be slowed. Because as we divide this sector up, the really great spot in the sector are the rapid dividend growers. And when you worry about inflation, you're missing the point. These are inflation-crushing income streams. Inflation-crushing income streams. They have been raising dividends so much faster than the rate of inflation. It crushes it. So we're not just starting off at 3%. We're thinking longer term. That 3 becomes 3.5 to 5 to 6 to 10 and so on over the years. But it's slow. But I want you to think about this number. If you have a pencil, write this down. Seriously, because I want you to come back to it and just think about it. Okay? Imagine an income stream that in 1970... was $3,411 a year. $3,411 for the year of 1970. today is $47,643 a year. That's just the S&P 500. That's not the dividend growers even. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the Googles that don't pay dividends. That's the WorldComs and Enrons that paid dividends until they went poof and blew up. It includes the banks in 2008 that had dividends. Poof, now they don't. $3,400 to $47,000 is astounding. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's astounding growth. More than double the rate of inflation. It's crushing. Now, imagine, though, those dividend, the focus is dividend raisers, dividend increasers. When you have a compounded growth rate of over 6% on dividends in the S&P that includes many dozens of companies that don't even pay dividends, and many that cut, blow up, whatever, they're not dividend raisers. That's astounding. So when we look at the, if you will, not telling you to buy Procter & Gamble, the Procter & Gambles of the world, the Johnson & Johnsons. What is it, 40-some years in a row for Johnson & Johnson, nearing 50, I think. 60 years in a row for Procter & Gamble, they've raised their dividends. The Clorox, the Pepsis, the Cokes, the Mercks, the Pfizers, the Exxons, the Chevrons, that raise it 9, 10% compounded growth rates over the years. It's a magic carpet ride. And what with that do we focus on? We focus on, I wonder if Procter & Gamble is a good buy at $84. What if it goes to $75? If they raise the dividend, who cares? It's temporary. If you bought a business, you're not going to flip it tomorrow. You go buy a business, and every year, for 60 years, you get paid more than 10% more every year. And by the way, when you bought that business, they don't want to see you. You're not allowed to show up. Just collect the checks. And every year, you get more and more and more and more. And somebody comes up and says, your business is worth a whole lot less. You better bail out. And you go, oh my gosh. And you put a for sale sign on it. Who does that? Oh, that would be stockholders. Us. With great corporations. Amazing. 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 Our behavior is ludicrous. Ludicrous at times. All right, we got to take a quick break here. Jim, please hang on. We'll grab you on the backside of that. But think about that. Dividend payers, great strategy. Fred, thank you for the email. I really appreciate that. But focus on the performance and not just the short-term performance. Focus on the long-term performance. Stock picking of the great corporations of the world that grow their dividends fast. That's worked so well over the decades. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Well, that's our email address, so please do ring us up. Hey, Jim, thank you so much for holding. I appreciate your patience.
Morning again, Dave.
How's it going? Good morning. It's you, Jim. That Jim. Go right ahead.
The same one.
The same one.
Oil, you know. Anyway, of all the stocks you listed, I've got all but two, Exxon and PepsiCo. All the rest of them I got probably around 100 shares or so.
That's great.
But anyway, I have a legitimate question, and this may be probably accounting and probably common sense. Anyway, I have Williams Company, and you know, like 100 shares, yeah. And they're natural gas exploration, and there's going to be a merger.
Right.
With ETE. And I'll tell you what, in the mail, I got this book. It's 1 inch thick. I counted the pages, 780 pages, which is 390 pieces of paper.
Wow.
Well, anyway, you have three options, right? Okay, you can take all cash, like $43.50 per share, or $8 plus, you know, some of the new company shares, or a share exchange. Now, the obvious value at this point would be to take cash. It's like $4,350 versus $24 versus $27. So anyway, and I was talking to my advisor, and naturally she says everybody of her clients, like all other seven, are taking cash. But when I'm looking into it, I'm thinking, well, I'll go to the stock. Now, and this is my thinking. Now, if a lot of people – well, they're enticing people to take the cash. So they're going to have a big cash outlay. However, they won't have a big stock outlay.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's less stock, you know, issued in the new company, there would be less dilution of stock. So you would think that that would help the new value of the stock.
Not necessarily. First of all, you have to understand, Jim, that there's not – if there's a big price difference, meaning – I can get $4,350, but the share exchange, what's that worth? I mean, how many shares? And
well, yeah, they say, you know, like 1.8 shares for one.
Okay, so what you want to do is you want to do the quick math, Jim.
Huh?
Do the quick math. 1.8 times the current price of the – you have Williams, right?
Right.
Okay, 1.8 times ETE's price.
Right, which is 13.
Which is $13, so it's like, oh, it's nothing.
Well, I know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, to look at it value for value today,
yep,
it would be wiser. Most people would take the cash.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if most people can't take the cash, and there's less shares of the new company issued, then each share value should be greater.
Okay, let's go with there's more to it than that, but let's go with what you're saying, and I'll tell you why it's not. Let's say today you go out and you say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get my cash, $4,350.
Right.
And then you put in your tender to do that, and then you take $4,350 and you go out and buy the stock.
Uh-huh.
Now you have two times the number of shares. But you know what I'm saying. Not
okay,
quite two.
And I would take the cash and then buy it on the open market.
Buy it on the open market, even simultaneous or right before. So okay. So now you say, all right. That's too easy, and it is too easy. So what am I missing? Here's what you're missing, Jim. The $4,350 must be limited. In other words, we'll give you $4,350 up to, let's say, 25% of the shares outstanding. I'm just making that up, but somewhere in that 700-page monstrosity will be a limit, I'm sure, that not everybody can take cash. They don't have that much cash.
Right.
So they're saying, okay, so then we're going to take up to 25% of shares. So everybody says, I want cash. That means you're only going to get a certain amount of cash.
Right. It'd be negotiable within the company?
Probably it's stated in there how much the limit is, and it will be pro rata.
Right.
So other than odd lot shares, are always favored, and typically under 100 shares is favored. They will just simply get rid of them because it also serves the company well, because you have to send out information on people that own nothing, right? And so it's costly to a company. So they would rather get rid of those shares anyway. So they favor those, but there's going to be a pro rata division. That's what's going to happen. I don't know this particular deal, okay? But I'm sure, based on what you told me, that I am correct. There is not going to be infinite money at $43.50.
No, you wouldn't think so.
No, the market will take care of that. I will go buy it tomorrow and tender all my shares.
Right.
Okay? I'll go buy it at obviously a lot less than this and go get my $43.50. What is the stock price trading at?
Well, Williams is $22.55, and then the new company is $13.
Okay, so $22.55, and you're going to receive $43.50?
Right. Deal.
Something's really super wrong with this. In other words, the deal's not going to get done. Something's wrong.
Well, see, that's the thing, too. It might not, but, I mean, that's what they're stating. So, you know.
I totally agree, but somewhere we're going to have a negotiation. The market is screaming that. The institutions are screaming that. You can believe all you want with your 100 shares, Jim, but it's going to be the millions of shares that have moved this from 43.50 to 22.50.
Well, you know, at first I was thinking about the cash, but looking into it, and this goes back into my sentimentality. I'm from New Mexico, and they do a lot of, you know, they have a lot of stuff down in Texas and New Mexico. So I told her I'm just going to go with the exchange, just stick with the exchange. You know, and it's less value-wise. That's why most people are supposedly electing the cash. But anyway, that's what I was going to do.
Well, you can't. I'm just saying, if they really are going to offer $40 per share, up to whatever limit it is, I would take the money and go buy the stock back.
Well, you know the thing is, you know, they can. Well, number one, who's going to read this book? Number two, if you do read it, are you going to understand it? Number three, if you understand it, are they going to uphold by whatever it says?
Right.
So, you know, it's like anything in the stock market. You know, you got to go by so-called faith or whatever.
Well,
you just do it and hope for the best.
You do, but also, but what they're saying right now is the best offer there is $43.50.
Absolutely.
I'm saying, so take the best offer, even if it's pulled because the deal breaks up, which it could. It still can until it's done. These deals are not done. And something, like you, the market's telling you this deal's not going to get done.
But just like you said, there's something wrong with this picture, you know?
There's totally.
If it seems too good to be true kind of a thing.
Right. So but mark the best deal for you, which is to take the cash, go buy the stock back later.
Well,
but I'm just saying the $43.50 to me looks absolutely no chance, because the market would take care of that. I'll find plenty of people that I could go borrow money from, and buy something at $22.50 that's going to tomorrow be worth $43.50.
See, the thing is, too, I mean, my main concern is not financial. You know, that's why if it was, I'd have gone for the $43.50 off the bat. So, you know, I may or may not lose by having just a stock exchange, but that's the way I'm going.
I understand. I'm not saying you shouldn't own the stock. I'm telling you, take the biggest dollars and own more stock with the same dollars.
Yeah, assuming that, I mean, you're taking a risk on that company anyway. So you buy more stock, and if it's a pathetic company, you lose more there. So.
Well, okay. All right.
Have fun.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And our number is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. Please do give us a call. Shoot us an email at dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back after Fox News.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Hey, it's also dave@petsofinancial.net. That'd be fine. Shoot us an email. Love to hear from you. You know, it's interesting, all these studies coming out. I'm actually going to be on a webinar, not interviewed, but listening this Monday, and talking about all the changes in elder care, staying at home, all the new tools that are coming out, all the cool technology. And yet, sometimes we miss some of the simplest, most important things. And I remember all of this from when I was a child. Really clearly. Because I had really special grandparents. They were really special. They ran a thing back east called the Settlement House, a settlement house. And for those of you back east, you may know what it is, but these were kind of community houses in the poorest of the poor communities. They were places where back in the day where there really was no safety net or limited safety net. And I know that we can argue that there's way too much of a safety net and the government has killed everything and kept people impoverished. I get that. But that's what I saw them do and go out into the community. I saw my grandmother just go be with people. Not even to take them something, but people who are old and really alone. Old and really alone. People used to do this, and now we talk about technology and things like that. And it's great to have the technology, and it's going to extend lives. There's no doubt about it. And medicine, of course, has already. It's phenomenal. I talk about it all the time, and I think it's crazy. But a study came out, The Silent Killer Among American Retirees and How to Avoid It. And it really does focus on loneliness. The negative effects are equal to smoking 15 cigarettes a day, being an alcoholic, and never exercising. It's twice as bad for retirees as obesity. But it is never talked about, and that's true. It is not talked about. It's loneliness. You know, it's something we don't talk a lot about. You know, you see, before we just blow that off and say, yeah, okay, there are some lonely people. I know there are. And maybe, you know, I'll do something about it. Hopefully the churches will do something about it. Families should, whatever. That's not so much what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us, too. You see, when people are getting ready to retire, this was a Merrill Lynch survey in 2013. Here's what they said before retiring. 38%, a little over a third, top concern were reliable income. Makes sense. It's what everybody focuses on. Certainly with their financial advisor, that's what we talk about. Do I have enough money to retire? But then the question is, what are you going to do? Okay, because everything after that is divided up pretty much equally. Anywhere from 12 to 17% between social connections, health insurance, purpose and work goals, and mental stimulation. But by an enormous margin, reliable income was the big dog. You know what current retirees say? By a large margin, social connections are the most important thing. And we all think old people are really worried about their health insurance. And they should be, and they are. Only 7% listed that as a top concern. Social connections. Not being lonely. Social connections. 34%. Reliable income has slipped to second. We just don't think about it. And when we get ready to retire, we don't think about it. Do we? We all just think or fixate on money. Why? Because that's the easy thing. Do I have enough to retire? The hard questions in life is, what am I about? What do I want to be when I grow up? What do I want to be when I don't have a whole lot of commitments of my time? Sometimes that's a wonderful thing. It should be a wonderful thing. But when we don't think about it and spend time thinking about it, it really can cause a lot of problems for people. You know, you just can't play golf every day. You can, but do you really want to? Does that become work? Maybe. Purpose. Connection with people, with human beings. It's so much more important than people think. So much more. It's not okay to just Facebook grandma. shoot her a text once in a while. We got to connect. Or we just don't feel. We're not. God didn't make us to be isolated from each other. It's literally deadly. And it's really important as we think about that, not just some abstract that, yeah, I read about that person that just kind of was dead for a week before anybody found her. That's weird. This goes on all around us, even within our own families, and we're really not aware of really how lonely it is or can be when we're not connected, and how important that is as we're planning our retirements. It's not just income. What are you going to do? Who are you going to be with? How are you going to grow? How are you going to continue to have a life with meaning and filled with joy without people and without purpose? It's a hard question. Because we can fill our life full of stuff, right? I'm busy. I got this going, I got that going, and you know, I better finish up reading the paper, and I'll do this, and boom, 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 and the day is gone. And maybe I haven't talked to my kids in quite a while. We get busy with stuff. And we fill our lives with things that don't have much meaning sometimes. And we end up maybe in our own lives with sometimes people walking around us, but we're kind of lonely, kind of depressed. And when you get into retirement, you just don't even have to go and be around people. It can be terrible. So be aware as you're planning your retirement, be aware as you're talking with your spouse about that imminent retirement, what it is you want, that you have to be thinking about who we're going to be with in having a community. It's deadlier than being an alcoholic. Crazy, huh? Not when you think about it. It's not. Our number is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Please do give us a call. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580-KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Our final segment, maybe. Here's the maybe part of our final segment, okay? I want a phone call. That's it. I want a phone call. If somebody was going to call in, first of all, I really, you know, before I get any further on this, I was very kind. Somebody just called up and just they couldn't be on the phone, but just wanted to give a thumbs up, and I wanted to thank you. That was very kind of you to do. So thanks. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to visit with somebody. It takes a few minutes for an email, so those of you who like to email, that's not going to work. We're just going to run out of time. Unless you poke out an email right now, and otherwise I'm going to go to a commercial break here in a couple minutes and give people a chance. But otherwise we'll stop. There we go. We got somebody calling in. That's great. So we're going to carry this nice long segment to the end, and we do have a couple other lines available at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And I'm wondering if this is my old buddy George. George?
Hey.
It is.
Since
you're
it's you. Phone calls.
Yeah. How are you?
Well, hey, listen, I don't know when it was. Time sure flies. But a year or so ago, you had a gentleman on from back east somewhere who had done some researches on what did people need in retirement. And The very thing you were talking about was that was one of the major considerations. You know, it's like you can't do the things you used to do. You have to live in one-story houses. Do you remember that program that you did?
Absolutely, I do.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of his name right now. I was trying to think of it yesterday. But honestly, George, he'll be back because he works with one of our vendor companies, I'm pretty sure, because I keep still getting emails. That's actually who's going to be on this phone call on Monday.
Uh-huh.
And he's been here. He spoke to our clients twice, and I've had him on the radio a couple times. I can't speak for him, but we all seem to like each other very much. So I know when he's traveling through this area, he's going to be available to us. He just hasn't come in over a year.
Uh-huh.
I'll think of his name shortly, but real, real bright guy. Actually, the one name I know him by, they call him the Brain.
I can believe that. Well, everything that he had to say was just it was very, very common sense. And of course, the thing that appeals to me is that what you had to say just a while ago is just totally biblical.
Yeah.
You think about before God created the universe. I mean, what did you have? You had three persons and a relationship, and He created us for relationships. Jesus put a lot of emphasis on that. So what you just said was really, really, I think, important, very important for us to consider.
Well, thank you, George. It is. It's just something we don't think about in our fast-paced society. And I know personally, I get myself busy, and I get in busyness rather than, if you will, in relationship, right?
Right.
And but man, grandbabies are good for that.
I imagine. Hey, now, didn't you have two daughters?
I do, and I've got my other daughter's got one on the way, so yay.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
So I've got one and one on the way, so this
oh,
is
man,
a, very exciting. Yes.
yeah, my youngest daughter has three, and she just had one last December. So she keeps us happy a lot.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, it's fun. They are fun, and they do slow us down, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They're more interested in a blade of grass. It just makes us kind of go, wow. Of course, you're chasing them half the time, so it's not real relaxing. But it's a different mode than sitting back and being entertained by whatever's on that big box in front of us, or feeling
uh-huh.
like I've got to hurry off to the store and get all this done and that done. You just don't have time for that. I watch my daughter and I go, wow, she even has a part-time job too. So,
oh, really?
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yep, it's something.
Well, that's good. Well, I got to spend almost 3 hours with my oldest son the other day. I just hadn't seen him in such a long time. He's in real estate, stays busy all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a delight and a joy. It was so fun. And, of course, one of the things we did talk a little bit about retirement and investments and things like that.
Good, good. No, people do, and I think people miss that. But, it does. It's important. And we see that. We hate to see that with clients, and especially when they lose their spouse.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's a really lonely time.
Yeah. Well, I have a neighbor like that. Love him to death. He just, but he lost his wife to cancer a few years ago. And it's, but he's just the neatest guy. And it's so fun. Well, there are quite a number of us older and retired people around here, and kind of, we spend a good bit. We don't spend a lot of time together, but we kind of support each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw. I wonder if the big cities. You remember in the old days, right? So this is not old. Okay, I'm not that old. But
yeah.
You think about the smaller communities. I have a client lives up in Pine, which is near Atlanta, which is like
yeah.
a lot of people are going. I still don't know what you're talking about. It's north of Mountain Home.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're up in the and what they did was they donated some money and a lot of time to build a senior center. So they had community in this small place.
Yeah.
And you go to a big city, and yes, we have senior centers, but I think we lose a lot of people out there. I was in Seattle. My daughter and grandbaby are there, and you sometimes you just because it stops you because cities are young, and then you see old people mm-hmm. barely able to shuffle. Carrying some food home from the store, and
uh-huh.
you just wonder, I did anyway, wondered about them and how they were doing. Do they have a community in a big city, or is it a community that's 4 miles away, mm-hmm. and they can't get to it.
Well, Boise is a unique place, in my opinion. I've checked this out because I'm from East Alabama, and that's about the friendliest place on earth.
Mm.
And I visited there one time, came back to Boise, and honestly, I think for friendliness, Boise edged out East Alabama just a little bit. I never thought I would ever say that.
Right. I know. But it's crazy.
It's like a great big small town.
It is unbelievable. I hope we keep that culture.
I do, too.
Because you are right, and I hear that all the time. You forget that, but when somebody comes into town and says, you know, we came here, before we moved here, we came here for a visit, and it's mm-hmm. like something weird happened because everybody was nice.
Yeah.
We thought, there's no way. So we came back again, and it was like they were all nice again.
Yeah.
And so it is. We forget how incredibly nice. We take it for granted because this is where we live.
Oh, yeah. You can start conversations with people in grocery lines, you know, just like you've been best friends forever.
Exactly. It's a great place. George, thank you.
Well, thanks for being there, Dave.
You have a great day.
Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
Bless you. Now, what a wonderful anyway, we do have an amazing community here. Absolutely astounding. And so, I just can't believe that I get to live here and do what I do. All right, you guys, have a great weekend. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers.